and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord, and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Conscious Cool Chic Radio. I am your host, Molly McCord. And as always, I appreciate your presence as we join together to have a wonderful conversation and look at some spiritual wisdom. In every show, I like to connect you with what you might be looking for and needing right now on your journey. And so that's why we cover a lot of different topics and information on the show, just to let you know about the vastness of spiritual wisdom that is out there and available for us today. We have a wonderful guest. Her name is Deborah Lloyd. She is a Reiki master, a certified holistic therapy practitioner and author, and she's here to give us some wonderful stories and advice about healing the body and the power of our beliefs and energy and how all of these things can work together to support whatever you may need support with. I know the physical body can carry so much energy, and she's going to share her story about how she has healed herself. So I'm going to bring Deb on in just a moment or two, but first I'd like to give a few announcements to let you know the latest and greatest. This week, middle of November, has some really big astrology transits happening. And if things feel intense in your world, if they feel heightened, if things just feel a little bigger right now, know that it's one of these big shifts and big waves that we're moving through. Remember to return to your breath, to move the energy through you if you should feel anxiety, worry, anger, anything coming up. It's a wonderful time to exercise, go for a run, do some Tai Chi, yoga, anything to keep the energy moving through. It's even more important during these high impact times. And we also have some solar flares happening right now. So just take really good care of yourself and understand that everyone is feeling these energies too. So if someone is a little more grumbly or anxious or going through some stuff right now, have compassion for whatever they might be experiencing. I'd like to put on your radar that starting next week, November 17th, I am a part of a lineup of 30 other experts who are doing an online video summit to help you live your best year in 2015. And you can register for this summit and you'll receive some inspiration every day, advice around abundance, happiness, spirituality, intuition, relationships, happiness, well-being, all kinds of great topics. So you'll want to go to liveyourbestyear.com. liveyourbestyear.com, register, and see all the experts who are going to be participating and sharing information so that you can really make the most of 2015 and get clear about your intentions and energy. So, without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Deborah Lloyd. She is a Reiki master and certified holistic therapy practitioner. She's also a licensed clinical social worker working with a hospice agency in Asheville, North Carolina. Deborah grew up on a farm in rural Indiana and was stricken with polio at the age of 3. To relieve fatigue from post-polio syndrome, she learned Reiki. And this complementary technique led her to explore other alternative modalities for healing. Deb has written a book called Believe and It Is True, a story of healing and life lessons. Her website is deblloydhealing.com. That's deblloydhealing.com, where you can click over and discover more about her story and information. So welcome to the program, Deb. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Molly, for having me. I'm so excited. And I have to say, I was so attracted by your program. As you recall, I found you on Twitter. And I just love the title, Conscious Cool Chic. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I love how it's wonderful to connect with people on Twitter and Facebook, and we just find so many great people doing wonderful work in the world. And I was very happy to be introduced to your story, your book, everything that you've learned on your journey, because I know there are many people who are looking for this information, Deb. So thank you for everything you're doing and sharing out there. It's really supporting people.
Thank you so much. It was not an easy journey in many ways, but even the book and coming out with the book was difficult for me. I come from quite a traditional and conservative background, and my book is anything but traditional and conservative.
Right, absolutely. And I can't wait to tell people more about your healing journey, but I thought, you know, we could start with some of the ways that you learned how to heal, such as with Reiki and other energy healing modalities. A lot of people know or have an idea about Reiki, but perhaps you could just start us off with that. Give us an introduction about Reiki and other healing modalities that you are familiar with.
Sure. Well, Reiki, I actually learned in 2001, so here we are 13 years later, 13 and a half years actually, and
right.
I still use Reiki every single day. So what Reiki is, it is an energy healing modality, and when a person is trained in Reiki, it just opens up the ability to channel universal life force energy, and you can call that anything you want. You know, some people have a much stronger spiritual aspect to it, if you will. They will say, I'm connecting to the divine. That energy then comes through the person, through the hands, and it heals. And it heals really all aspects of ourself, physical, emotional, and spiritual. I went to a Reiki master for a physical reason. It was the chronic fatigue that you mentioned earlier from post-polio syndrome. Practically every single client that I've worked with in the last number of years come for a physical reason, and that's fine. But many times we experience healings in other arenas of our lives, and because many times the physical things that we're dealing with, whether it's a pain or a chronic condition or whatever, many of those do have either an emotional aspect that's underneath it, or there's a lot of emotions tied around it now that we're dealing with this medical condition. So
right.
It will go through the emotional aspects too. In my case, I can't say that the emotions caused the fatigue, but definitely what came up for me in my healing journey were some really old, unresolved emotional issues that I did have from being that little girl with polio, the little girl with the braces and crutches that, you know, her legs are atrophied and the limp and the whole thing. I went through a lot of emotional healing, which then, of course, led me to some spiritual healing too.
Beautiful. And I think a lot of people can't understand this because of how we are becoming more familiar with the power of energy. You know, everything is energy, everything correlates, everything relates, and when we understand how that shows up in our physical bodies, then we have more ways of working with the energy, like with Reiki. Are there any other healing modalities that you've worked with or that you've used for the physical energy work?
Absolutely. One of the things the other things that Reiki did for me was just open me up to the possibility of other energy modalities. One of the ones that was really a huge experience for me was working with a shamanic intuitive healer. And there's even quite a story how I met her, but these sessions, we never knew what material was going to come up. Basically, she could connect to the spirit world in just such, for her, I want to say an easy manner. Now, of course, she went through a lot of training and had a lot of experience, but she
right.
would just sit, close her eyes, ask the spirits to show us what I needed to know that day. Sometimes I went in with specific questions, and other times I just went in with what do I need now to heal another aspect of myself. And the material that came through, sometimes it was a spirit guide who had been working with me. A few times we got past life information that coordinated or connected to what I was going through at the moment in my own life. And at the very first session, I was directed to, after every time I saw her, was to go home and journal on what happened, but also my feelings, what was going on, and then continue to process, you know, take that one session and continue to work on it and just write down all the things that came out. And
yeah.
that's what was really so, so powerful. I just want to give one example. When I
please, yes.
As a clinical therapist, a social worker, of course, I had already spent a lot of time working on, like, the feelings of being different and how difficult it was to be in high school and, you know, never have a date and all of that good stuff. Amazingly, I had never, ever looked at what was it that I really went through that day when I was 3 years old and 2 months that I got up and I couldn't walk. And what I really came up with is I was traumatized. And I find it amazing that I never, ever looked at that before. But I
wow.
then spent a couple of weeks really looking at that trauma and really healing that little girl that still lived inside of me. And that trauma, all I can say is it's healed. And I think there was part of me for these last 50-some years that event happened that I couldn't look at it until I did that healing work. And let me go back to, I used Reiki as I was journaling. So it's just really very circular in the fact, I remember those incidents where there were a couple of times I just had to put down my notebook. I Reiki'd myself. I just put my hands on my heart and got calmed down again and then went to that place of, okay, you're okay. Let's go back to the writing. So Reiki can be incorporated into all aspects of our lives, because energy, as you just said, energy is everywhere. Energy is everything. Everything has energy. So when we're going through difficult times, to go back to some healing modality, breathing, of course, is wonderful. Just do some real conscious breathing, get yourself calmed down. Then we can really start to deal with those difficult issues that maybe we haven't explored yet.
Beautifully shared, Deb. Thank you. And that's such a, you know, that's such a powerful story to really go back to the source or that origination of the experience when you were that three-year-old girl and that very first experience of not being able to use your legs. I mean, that just sounds incredibly powerful to, you know, to courageously look at those feelings and what that was for you. That's a wonderful piece of advice right there for people to know, is that you go to the source of where that experience began.
Exactly. And it is something, as a therapist, that I've known for a long time, say someone who was abused, to really, really heal that, you do have to do that work. You cannot just avoid it. You cannot go around it or over it. Sometimes you just have to go through it to heal. But I do also believe sometimes you do need to do this with a professional. Other times, depending on what it is, a lot of people can do their own work. I truly believe if someone really sets the intention I really want to heal this aspect of my life. Please help me. Please send me the right person, the right book, the right television show, the right video seminar. There is so much out there. We will be led to that. And I really believe that when that shamanic intuitive healer showed up in my life, I knew I was supposed to work with her. And it's not that I have any special intuitive abilities, although I have to say Reiki has helped me in that area. I'm much more intuitive now than I was 13 years ago. But if you ask for guidance, it will come to you. And if you're open, you will know what you should pursue.
Absolutely. Yes, I strongly resonate with that and believe the same thing. And it's part of the magic of our universe and of where we live that when we put out that intention and that request, we do get answers. We do get support and resources like you just described. And, you know, you've shared your story and some of the healing modalities that you're familiar with and that you've used. And I'm sure there's people listening who wonder, okay, well, how do I know what's right for me? Or how do I know if I need to see a professional or if I can heal this on my own? What kind of advice do you give people about telling them which modality they should use?
Yes, that's actually a question I get quite a bit, and I think it's a very, very good question. And I really tell people, I believe in prayer and asking for spiritual guidance. If you start from that place and then you listen to your gut, that's really high tech, isn't it? But you
yes, it is.
Your gut, and your instinct, you will know if that person is right for you. So often we do not trust our guts, and we can just, all of us, and I can do, you know, I do this too. I can look back on my life and go, I knew that person wasn't a good fit for me for whatever reason, but I went ahead anyways because everyone thought it was a good idea, or my husband said, oh, you should go see this person, so I went, but I didn't feel good about it before I even got there. Listen to your gut. You will go where you need to go. It's very interesting because I do still get like a little reading here and there. And I was really recently at a Mind Body Spirit Festival and went to this little group thing where these two women were doing angel readings. They did one for each one of us. And they were like 2 minutes long. She came over to me. The first thing she said is, you are so discerning. Do you know what a good discerning person you are? And it made me giggle because 10 years ago, I would not have gotten that reading. But she was spot on because she's right, I am. And I can now go to these festivals and go, no, this one isn't for me. And it's not that they're a bad person or they're not good in their work. It's just not what I need at this point of time in my spiritual path and my healing path.
And that is so important, too, to be discerning and to really honor our messages and what feels right for us, because we can only know that for ourselves. And I actually have a similar story about finding my acupuncturist. I had looked online at some people in my area, and there's this one woman, I just kept coming back to her, and she was a little farther away. The drive was longer, and I was sort of in efficiency mode and thought, well, I should get someone closer to home. But I realized no one else was the right fit except for her, and she was worth the drive. I just knew it, and it turned out she was the right fit for me, and it's that gut feeling that we all know and we all have access to when we trust it. It really works. Every time. It will not steer you
every
wrong.
Every time. It really does. Right. It works every time. And even there could be times, let's say, I'm going to pick on the acupuncturist, let's say perhaps you decided after 3 or 4 sessions maybe she wasn't the right fit. If you really sat back and looked at it, you would figure out what you learned from the situation.
Yes, always.
Okay. Always. So sometimes it isn't exactly what we expect, but we still get something out of it if we trust our gut.
And I think that it's important for people to know that, too, that when you are going through a physical healing, that it might take you going to a few different practitioners who lead you to each other or who lead you to the next person, the next step. So trust that process. I call it follow the breadcrumbs. you know, just follow what shows up, because it will lead you forward as long as you're, you know, continuing to trust yourself and follow what you need to do.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. And sometimes when we're in the middle of it, we can't see it. But if you're, you know, once you get past it a little bit and sit back and try to become that objective observer, you will see exactly how everything fell into place. Like, I would have not gotten to that person if I hadn't gone to the first person. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's the universe is doing everything it can to help us to find our wholeness again. And for me, the definition of healing is realizing the wholeness that you always were. And that is really, once you get there, because that was huge for me. I never felt whole. I always saw myself as someone with a physical deficit. I always felt I had to prove myself. I always had to go the extra mile because people's first impression of me was negative, not positive. And really what I realized through my whole process at the end of the day, I was always whole. I was always unconditionally loved. I was always divinely loved. I was a whole person. And it took me 50 plus years to figure that out. But the good thing is I figured it out. So there you go.
Yes. And it's really powerful because so many people can hold that unconscious belief about themselves that that is their identity, or that's who I am, or that makes up my experience. But, you know, understanding that you are this whole being that's divinely loved changes everything. And, you know, that is something that your book really touches on. If you're just joining us, friends, we're talking with Deb Lloyd, and we're talking about healing the body and how healing is possible for everyone. And your book, Deb, is called Believe and It Is True, A Story of Healing and Life Lessons. And I'd like to just, you know, let people know, some people listen to the show are more advanced, some people are new to all this wisdom, so we like to, you know, be inclusive and bring everybody in to the party, so to speak. And just let people know, you know, can you share with us, you know, the fact that thoughts and beliefs affect the ability to heal? And can you touch on this a little bit more for people who are brand new to this understanding?
Yes. I think so often, well, let's think about it. Our little mind is thinking all day long. We're having little self-conversations. We're giving ourselves messages all day long. So our beliefs are very, very, very powerful because they are based in our thoughts. So I'm just going to pick out something really simple. Let's say you make a mistake at work. You could say to yourself, wow, here I go again. I'm such a failure. I can't do anything right. No wonder they don't like me at work. I noticed my boss looked at me funny. I mean, you could go on like this all day long. Or
right.
The opposite is you could say to yourself, I'm just like everyone else. I'm a human being. I am not perfect, and I am doing my best. This was really a minor thing, and I'm just going to keep on going. I am fine. Everyone thinks I'm fine. I'm doing a great job. I am doing the best I can do, and that's what you're thinking all day long. From those thoughts, that first person is going to develop a belief, I am always a failure. I disappoint everyone around me. I'm unlovable. I'm not worthy. And the list goes on and on. The second person will be saying, I'm a wonderful person. I'm a good person. I am a person. I'll make some mistakes along the way, but it's okay. I am worthy. I am lovable. I'm good. That's how our thoughts and our beliefs are really tied in. Then let's add the energy aspect. Of course, that first person, the energy is just going to go down and down and down. And any energy that is through their body is not going to be positive. It's just going to be negative. And that suppresses our immune system. It makes us more liable for depression. I mean, the list just goes on and on. The other person, because they're generating positive energy through their thoughts and their beliefs, overall will be more healthy. They will be happier. they'll be able to deal with life's ups and downs, because we all will have life's ups and downs. Having a positive attitude doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges or problems, or, you know, that things aren't going to happen in your life. Things are going to happen. But you build up your energy supply, and it's positive and it's strong. So if some germs going around at work, the chances of you catching it is lowered. It doesn't mean you will never get sick again, but it does mean you're less likely to get sick. And if you really look at this over many years, you will see the difference between one person and another.
I think that is beautifully explained and gives people an idea of how it's just about changing around the self-talk, the inner language, and that takes work, that takes practice, because you're reprogramming yourself in your thoughts to yourself, but it really has this effect that's beyond measure, and it's so powerful. And I think that is at the heart of so much of the healing that people want to do, and they think that, you know, their body's in control, but really there's something it's the fact that you're in control. You're in control of your healing.
You are in control of your thoughts, and a lot of people, that can take a lifetime to really figure out you really are in control of your thoughts, because often those messages that we give ourselves are still the messages we got as a child.
Right, yes.
Because I cannot tell you, when I was doing a lot of psychotherapy work earlier in my career, I worked mostly with children, which means I did a lot of family work, and I had a number of kids with ADHD. And nowadays it's being identified, diagnosed, treated, and there's much more of an understanding of it. But what I really found interesting was talking to the parents about their experiences in school. Usually one of the parents had ADHD, and guess what they would say? Oh, yeah, I was always the bad boy in class. Oh, yes, I was always the girl that was in trouble, because it wasn't being identified back then. And
right.
They still had that image in their head. Now, some of them did fine. They found a career where ADHD actually helped them, like in sales or something very outgoing, something that they had to move around a lot. Other folks were still being that problem child in school, even though they might be in a workplace. They might still feel like a failure. And I would say that time for me was one of the greatest learning experiences. My heart would go out to these parents. And quite honestly, I remember when I was in school and there were, quote, a couple of bad boys in the class, because I had a hard time sitting in their desk. And so they were running around the classroom, and, you know, the teachers back then would say, you know, you're the problem child, go see the principal, whatever they did. So we have a choice in whether we want to carry those old messages with us and those old images, or, you know, now as adults, we can have a bigger and better understanding of what all of that was about, and we can change it. And I, like I said, I did experience those parents where some had gotten stuck there and other ones took those qualities and actually made a good life for themselves and really reframed it. They saw themselves as a success now because they took their hyperactivity-ness and found a career where it was a good match.
Perfect. And that's so good for people to hear, too. You know, it does start with your own, you know, it's like catching yourself in the moment, you know, just being aware of, oh, wow, I'm being really hard on myself right now. Or, oh, I'm not, I'm really having a narrow perspective about myself in this situation or my skills or my talents. And like you've just described in these previous two examples, Deb, it takes just this reprogramming of it as you do professionally, but that every person can also do personally. And I think this is something that, you know, people really have to own. You know, you really have to own it and say, okay, I'm in control of all of this, all of my energy, all of my thoughts, all of my feelings, and I'm going to be very loving and kind to myself because that's going to help every aspect of my life.
Yes. I'm really glad you used the word own because that's something that I have seen always through my career in that, and I'm talking both as a social worker and as a Reiki person and doing holistic work on the side, if you will, is that there are people in the world who shop around for therapists, different healers, and they have a very passive attitude about it. It's like, let me go in, either sit up or lay down, and please fix me.
Right.
We cannot do that as people in the healing professions, no matter what it is, if it's healthcare or more of the energy modalities. People really do have to own it, and they have to participate in it, and they have to take what they get from those sessions, whether it's talk therapy or otherwise, and incorporate that in their lives. In fact, I used to have a saying when I would do family therapy, because, again, especially these acting out teenagers, I had a lot of those. There were times when nothing would change at home, although I had given them a lot of ideas, some things to do. And then the parents would come in and go, you know, we've come three times and nothing has changed. You know, why haven't you changed anything yet? And I would say, well, let's look at this. You were here 1 hour last week, and since you were here, there was 167 other hours. What happened during that time? And boy, that would make people stop. They would look at that and go, oh, that's right. We have to carry on what you know, some of these suggestions, because it's really a whole lifetime. An hour a week or 3 hours a week is still a drop in the bucket. So you have to own your problems. You have to own your own healing journey. You have to step up and say, this is what I want, and I will do what's needed. All of these, including myself as a Reiki master, all of us are just assisting people. We assist you.
Right.
We give you ideas. You know, we can improve your energy during that period of time. Not I personally, but through my channeling of the universal life force. We can do that, but if you go right back to all the old ways of doing things, it's not going to be very effective. It's just the way it is.
And I think that all of this is a great lead-in and to more about your healing journey and what it was like to be that young girl at 3 years old who had polio and growing up. And then, you know, could you describe for us what was it, you know, as what was your turning point? What happened for you that healed you more fully? I would just love to know more about your compelling story so that people can understand their own power and how they can really own their energy more fully.
Yeah. It's really very interesting, because I would say I've kind of stayed at the same place in many ways from the time I was a little girl up until the early 90s. And in many ways, I really did very well. I am married. I had two children at that point. Ended up going to college. I did not go to college straight out of high school, because farm girls really didn't do that much back then. But after I got married and my husband supported me going to college, I became a social worker. So all these wonderful things were happening, and I kind of went and just lived life, if you will, and did well. But what happened was, in the early 90s, I started getting some symptoms that I had not had before during that whole time. And at this point, I was in my late 40s. So, and I was getting some knee pain, which I never had before, but the fatigue was really the big issue. And so I went to a doctor who was an expert in post-polio. I hadn't even heard of the term until one Sunday there was an article in the newspaper that a number of the polio victims were having new symptoms. And first thought, they thought maybe polio was coming back, that the virus had reactivated itself in the body, which fortunately was not the case. But what was the case was, well, first of all, everyone got different symptoms from polio, if you will. In my case, it really just affected my legs and feet. But some people affected their lungs or their arms, different parts of the body. So I was put on some medication and basically told not to do so much, you know, to really change my life. And we called our kids in on it. By now they're like late grade school, high school, that they would need to do more around the house. And when I came home from work, if I was tired, I kind of had to stop and they had to do more. So my kids and my husband chipped in. And it kind of went up and down, but as time went on, late 1990s, early 2000s, the chronic fatigue got worse. By now, my kids are out of the home, and it was just my husband and me, and I was struggling more. So going to see the doctors, and kind of what I got, there really isn't anything you can do except maintain what you already have. Then, where I was working, we hired a new therapist who was a Reiki master. And she's the one that really kept saying to me, you ought to try this Reiki. I really think it could help. I ended up not going to her, but I did go to her Reiki master, who the person who had trained her. And truly, that very first session, I felt the fatigue lift out of my body. I did have some little bit of tiredness and fatigue for the next month or two, but really within a few months, it was totally gone. That experience in and of itself really made me realize there is a whole lot more going on here with energy. It opened up my world. I grew up in a very religious family, and I would say I always had a lot of religious beliefs, and I don't poo-poo them or dismiss them. What I say is I really expanded my understanding of spirituality and the spiritual world and how healing is tied in with all of this. So it was through that that I did go to a shamanic intuitive healer. And some of the other modalities that I worked with, we haven't talked about yet, is a psychic medium. I did a lot of work with her because the other big thing in my life, the polio was part of it, but my dad died when I was 18 years old. It was a very tragic situation. I'm the oldest of 9 kids. So I was 18 and the baby was 4, and there were 9 of us in between. It was totally devastating to our family. But it only exasperated my feelings of being alone and being different. And my dad was a real support to me. So when he died, that just actually brought up a lot of these feelings again. Very fortunately, sure. I met my husband within 6 weeks after my dad died. I was all of 18 years old. I in my heart, I believe my dad brought him to me. He's
absolutely
just been,
yeah,
a perfect complement to me. And we dated a few years and got married. So I was married relatively young. And but anyways, he's been such a support. And we started off very traditional, and I'm also very blessed that both of us opened up to this whole new world together. And I have to say, unfortunately, that doesn't happen in every marriage or every partnership. So often one person really grows in this arena and the other doesn't. Sometimes it's fine. They accept each other and just say, you do your thing and I'll do mine in that arena. Unfortunately, sometimes the other person that doesn't grow spiritually becomes threatened and relationships end. So I do see that as one of the greatest blessings in my life that did not happen. So anyways, it just opened me up. Since I wrote my book, I've actually done quite a bit of work with an acupuncturist. So that's not in the book, but I totally believe in acupuncture because really
yes,
it just ties in with the whole energy realm. And I did see a couple of other different healers that were really part of my healing journey. So the book, I finished writing it now, totally finished the writing of it about 4 years ago. So that doesn't mean I've quit my
right,
healing journey.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I've gone to an acupuncturist, but physically I'm doing well. And I do just want to add that. So now I work full time. I also do things like this. I'm writing articles. I do, you know, workshops, I do Reiki trainings, I have Reiki clients, and now everyone says to me, we don't understand how you can do what you do. And I say, I feel great. The energy is just here. And
yes.
I know that's still part of my healing journey, is that I'm supposed to be doing all these things, so the energy comes. I really believe
yes.
this is what my calling is to really spread the word that healing is possible. So sometimes it's one-on-one, you know, when I see a client. Sometimes it's things like this. Sometimes it might be, you know, I blog, or maybe someone will see my blog somewhere and I'll touch them in some way. And that's, I'll never know. Because it's really not me working, it's really spirit working through me. And I really, really believe that. So the other thing I do want to just touch upon is that I believe that everyone has something to heal. And, you know, may not be as big as polio, may not be physical at all. It might be emotional, might just be the self-talk part of yourself. But we're all, because we're human beings, none of us is 100%, you know, we're not in the spiritual world yet.
Right,
so all
right.
Of us
we're
have
here
something
to do
that
work.
We can work on, yeah. And I do believe all of us still have a lot of life lessons to learn. And let me tell you, some folks are still learning them on their deathbeds, and I do see that all the time. So, you know, we don't have to wait till the very last days of our lives to do a lot of this work.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some people do. And unfortunately, some people don't get to it in this lifetime. So we have
yes.
control over yes. that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone operates on their own timeline and their own way and what they're really willing to open up to and willing to see in themselves and even to see their own power, because I find that that is something that is really foreign to people and who are just starting with this healing work, is that you don't understand your own power yet. And so it's an opening to all of your power and everything that's available to you to support your healing. And that's why I think your book, Deb, is really wonderful and empowering for people, because you hear about, you know, of course, your first person healing journey, but then, you know, you're also sharing these life lessons that pertain to other people's journey and support what they're learning and support their power too.
Yes. And, you know, I do believe our lives are about learning lessons along the way. Some of the situations we find ourselves in might be more for you or it might be for the other people around you. And it's all good. It's all fine. And probably it's for both all the time when we really look at it strongly. But, you know, as a person like a Reiki master, I often learn from my clients. As a therapist, I learn from my clients. And definitely as a hospice social worker, I learn from my patients and families. So it's a very mutual back and forth type of thing. And isn't that, in fact, I've had people say this to me, I don't think I am good enough yet, or I've gone, I've grown enough yet to do this type of work. And I will say to them, you know, maybe you need a little bit more training or whatever, but don't ever feel you have to be like 100% complete before you begin, because you never will be 100% complete. And being yes. that person working in the realm that you're called to work will actually help your growth. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's good for people to know, because, you know, there is not a point where you're not 100% ready. You just need to do it sometimes. You have to keep going, keep learning, keep practicing, keep working with the energy. And that's really how you get stronger with the techniques and skills that are special for you. Now, I just was thinking here, Deb, if somebody is in the Asheville, North Carolina area, is that where you practice? Reiki, is that where they can maybe reach out to you on the website if they wanted to do
yes.
a session?
Yes. And actually, the other little thing is not so little, that has happened through Reiki. Let me just tell this little aspect of the story. So I went to a few mm-hmm. sessions. My husband was so blown away by the changes in my physical self. I said, you have to go, you have to go, you have to try this out. So he did. The Reiki master said to him, you know, if you both came to training, you could do Reiki for Deb. That was all he needed to hear because he had been wanting to help me but didn't know what he could do.
Sure, yeah.
So we did all the trainings together, but that eventually led him to leaving his engineering career and becoming a massage therapist. So
wow.
He's now a massage therapist full-time, and we have a business together. So there's links. I have my own website kind of around, you know, the Reiki and the book and everything. It links to our massage and Reiki practice. So we're both Reiki masters. I do most of the teaching because I talk more, so I teach better.
Yeah, right. That goes together.
We have big classes. We both teach, but I do more of the teaching. But I'll tell you, he is a wonderful Reiki practitioner. So we both do Reiki, and then the real ultimate is to have a massage with Reiki during the session. Oh my goodness! So he does that, and I'll just say real quick, our business is called Peaceful Way Massage and Reiki, but my website links to it. We go back, you know,
okay.
You can link to both of the websites through each other. So that's been part
great.
Of our journey too. And I really went through some emotional stuff around him giving up a really nice career and, you know, starting off in massage, which was not, you know, in the very beginning, not bringing in
sure.
much money at all.
Yeah.
And having been that child, one of nine kids on a farm whose dad died very young, really brought up a lot of that stuff for me around lack and abundance and dealing with money and all of that. And I talk about that a little bit in my book, but that's just an example of all the different areas we have to heal. Believe me, when I went to my first Reiki session, I never dreamt that I'm going to be dealing with the lack and abundance issues, which was still a part of my being, which I have done a lot of work on, but there are still times when I can get a little panicked about money.
Yeah.
I'm
and that's very
honest,
and that's very honest and real. And I think it's important for people to hear that because that's part of our humanness. And then
yeah.
we have the skills and abilities to move through it faster and to return to that place of abundance and trust and faith and how everything will line up as it always has. But it's very human of us to have those times when we go into the fear and around lack and all of that. So, yeah, I think that's good for all of us to just
and
know
many,
that it still
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, and it's part of our culture, too, the American culture, to be kind of focused in on money sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And then what we've
yeah.
been through with the recession and everything, you know. I went through a period in my Reiki practice where it seemed like it wasn't really the case, but definitely a high percentage of people came in with really low energy in the root chakra, which is the lowest chakra in our body, which is around security, stability, feeling grounded. What will shake that up more than anything is losing your job in today's world, because our, you know, society is set up, you need money to pay your rent or your mortgage, to eat, you know, we can't sustain ourselves without a paycheck, is what it comes down to. So I was happening to see people who either lost their jobs or really fearful that they were going to lose their jobs. So I find it very interesting when you sit back and look at kind of patterns that you get. And then that made me look at, gee, Deb, you've gotten three clients here in the last week that's real concerned about money. What is that telling you? And then I looked at, yeah, you're concerned too. About your own life.
Right. Yeah. I know. Those messages are always fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah,
make those
yes,
connections.
They are. And if
yes.
you don't get it the first time, you'll get the message two or three more times. I always laugh because I cannot tell you how many times people will tell me about a book or, you know, some website that I need to go to or article I need to read on the web. And when I hear it the second or third time, I'll just look up and go, okay, spirit, I get it. I
message
will go
received.
Look it up.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes, it's so true. Well,
yeah.
Friends, we've been talking with Deb Lloyd, and again, you can find her website, deblloydhealing.com. And if you would like to read more about her story, be sure and check out her book. It is called Believe and It Is True, A Story of Healing and Life Lessons. You can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is available as a paperback or in digital version. So look that up. And Deb, you know, we only have a few minutes left, and you've shared so much with us, and it's been wonderful having you here. Are there any final messages that you would like people to know, or anything that they really need to perhaps give more attention to on their journey?
Yeah, the one thing I don't think I've really covered yet is just the real belief that anything is possible. And I know I had lived in a world of this is the best I can ever be. And I'm talking about the physical side of myself. It cannot change. If anything, I will only get worse. I could never get better. I mean, that was so outside of my belief system. I have actually had physical improvements in my legs. I actually walk. I still have a limp, but it's much less pronounced than it used to be. I never even considered the possibility that it would be possible. Reiki did bring that into my life. So I think so often why we don't heal, we just don't even think it's a possibility. But with the universe loving us the way it does, anything is possible. You know, we could have an estrangement in the family and say, it will never be healed. Think the other way. Think, it can be healed. What can I do to heal it? Because it is possible.
Exactly. Very powerful. So encouraging for people to know and to be reminded of that. And friends, as you're listening, you can download this episode and listen to it again. If you strongly resonate with Deb's messages and you think you might want to keep it handy, you can come back and hear the same information again and again to just keep you on track. And also be sure and connect with Deb on her website, deblloydhealing.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, the book, which is wonderful, a great read, and just a wonderful story. You know, I always like to talk about on the show, we talk a lot about our soul's growth and, of course, consciousness and what we're here to learn and how we're here to heal ourselves. And I guess I'd love to end up by knowing your thoughts on why you believe your soul chose this experience for your growth.
Yes. Well, I believe it was for my own soul, but I also believe I have helped some other people along the way. So for my own self, I do believe I had lessons to learn about strength and power, because I think I may have had some past experiences where maybe I misused power or saw it in like just a purely physical way and did not understand the authentic power that each of us has within ourselves. I also believe I have learned a lot about compassion and touching, reaching out to other people. And I was shown some ways to do it. And, you know, I've had the good fortune of being able to live it, actually have a career being a compassionate professional, if you will. I do think I helped some of my family members to learn compassion and not... Let me say it the other way. And to learn to accept people who are different than ourselves, whether it's a physical disability, whether it's a racial difference or religious difference or nationality difference, whatever it is. So I think there's been a multitude of lessons. I mentioned before it was very hard for me to come out and be a speaker, if you will. I'm actually kind of a shy, reserved person in many settings. I may not come across that way, but it was really a leap for me to put this book out to the world, and I actually lost some sleep over it. So, but then my belief came through that this is what was meant, and just worked through it, and now, you know, I have gained a lot of confidence, and I was always pretty confident in one-to-one situations, but not so much with big groups and all of that. So I've gone through a lot of lessons, but I do believe we choose different situations with spiritual help to happen in this lifetime that will help our soul to grow. And I'm just now really full of gratitude that I was given this opportunity and that I've said yes enough that I really think I am fulfilling what I was supposed to in this lifetime.
Beautifully said and shared. That's wonderful. And, you know, you just shine and you're a wonderful speaker. And it's wonderful that you're sharing your gifts with us and that you are speaking through various platforms and classes, because people are certainly looking for this information and needing it for their own journey. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for everything you've shared, and also your book. Thank you for putting it out there, because it has a lot of good wisdom and advice for people as they're healing themselves.
Thank you so much, Molly, and thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. I really do.
Oh, my pleasure, and I'm glad that there's people listening who are now introduced to your story and how your wisdom can help them, and that's what this is all about. You know, we all help each other. We all do what we can to contribute to each other's growth and how we can all support and be of service to one another. It's so important right now, and it's one of the reasons why I love the Internet, because we can do this. You know, we can do it in this way and reach a global audience. So thank you so much for being here, Deb.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a wonderful tool.
It's amazing. In a short amount of time, all the people we can reach all over the world. And I'm very grateful for that, and that you and I can have this kind of a conversation with a worldwide audience. So thank you for being here. It's just a joy to hear your story and to hear your laugh and everything that you have to share with us. So again, thank you for being here, Deb.
Thank you, Molly.
Everyone, I will see you next week for our next live broadcast. Thank you for being here. I wish you a beautiful, fabulous week ahead. And remember to take good care of your energy, to take good care of yourself, and to know that there are many blessings happening for you right now, and I wish that they show up in the most perfect way. So thank you for being here, friends, and I will see you next week. I'm going to end here with one of my favorite songs as we end the program. So thank you. Take good care.